Transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
Holy Spirit Baptism, Part 2. Holy Spirit Baptism, Part 2. It's going to take the form of an instructional teaching more than my regular way of teaching. And today we're going to look at four instances in the book of Acts where people received the Holy Spirit baptism. And out of the four instances, I will show the prerequisites or the conditions that are necessary for receiving the Holy Spirit baptism. And we will put these four instances together and we'll see what is needed for you to also receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And after I have done that, I will spend some time to pray for those of you who are desiring to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We are a Pentecostal charismatic church, and the Holy Spirit baptism is a very essential foundation of our belief, and it is rooted in Scripture. So it's important that at least periodically we revisit these foundations. So I'm going to look at four instances in the book of Acts, and they are not the only instances where people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but the four are necessary for instruction. And so we look at the first instance, and we are not going to look at the event itself, the instruction that preceded it, and that is in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and these are from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he instructed the church regarding that experience. So we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The thing I want you to note is the instruction, wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. And the Greek verb that is used there comes from the root perimeno. And peri means to be around or concerning something, and meno means to stay in place or to persevere. So Jesus says, stay around, but not stay around simply like wait doing nothing, but stay around in a mode of expectancy. So that's the first instruction we have concerning receiving the Holy Spirit baptism. It is expectancy or expectation. Everybody say expectation. And that's what Jesus told the disciples. Wait in Jerusalem and be expectant. And later on in Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Spirit. But when the disciples were waiting in Jerusalem, I don't think they were just sitting around doing nothing. I believe that they were praying. The upper room where they received the Holy Spirit was like a prayer meeting room. And they waited for probably between 9 to 10 days after Jesus spoke to them. I don't think they were living in that room as their home. There are about 120 of them. They couldn't live there. They had to go have a shower and clean up. They can't do it in a room just like that. So they would go to residences in Jerusalem, and then they will come for prayer meeting in the upper room. So I believe that the account in Acts chapter 2 is an account of something that happened while they were praying in the upper room in expectation. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit if you don't have an expectation. If you are passive, if you're casual, if you say, well, I don't know, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, I'm okay. Then there's no expectation. There has to be expectation. There has to be a desire. There has to be a waiting. There has to be hanging around in expectation, persevering for something to happen. So the first requirement for receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit baptism is expectation. Everybody say that together, expectation. All right. So that's the first instance. Wait for the promise, and it speaks of expectation. Then we look at the second instance. And the second instance, I am jumping the experience in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 onwards where they really received. And I'm jumping to look at what Peter said after the experience, especially when people wanted to know how they would also have the same experience. This is what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That's a very important question. What shall we do? You've told us about something. What should our response be? So listen to their response. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So there is an action that precedes receiving the Holy Spirit. So, and that action, Peter called it, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Peter joined the two together. Not just repent, not just baptize, but repent and be baptized. You repent and then you are baptized. And that results in salvation. Salvation. So first is expectation. Second is salvation. For a person to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, they must experience salvation. And salvation comes through repentance and baptism. Now, somebody will say, well, Peter said they should repent and be baptized, but Jesus didn't say they should repent and be baptized. So why didn't Jesus lay that condition in Acts chapter 1 for his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit? Because the disciples, the apostles, had already repented and been baptized. They had already experienced salvation because they were with Jesus Christ and they had repented of their sins and they had been baptized. So that instruction was not required for them. But for these Jews who have never repented and have never been baptized and have not received Christ as Lord and Savior, it is a prerequisite. It is a prerequisite. So repent and be baptized, that simply means you have to be born again. You have to experience salvation. You have to be saved. If a person wants to receive the Holy Spirit, they have to be saved. They have to receive Christ Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. So the first is expectation, and the second is salvation. These are important prerequisites. Now, those of us who have received this experience know that many times that is the sequence, but it's not always sequence like that in a chronological, one happens before the other, because as we find out later in the house of Cornelius, the salvation and the Holy Spirit baptism happen almost about the same time. So sometimes it doesn't happen in distinct salvation and then distinct Holy Spirit baptism. But most times that is how it happens. Personally, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior around 1970. And I always say around 1970 because at that time I went for altar calls everywhere that the gospel is preached. And every time they preach and say, "Come and receive Christ," I go to the front. I did it over 40 times. And every time. And those days, the preachers preach very, very fearful messages about judgment to come. And Maranatha, Jesus is coming again. And where will you be when the rapture comes? You'll be grounded. And a few times I had dreams where people had flown up and I was downstairs. So every time I heard a gospel preacher, I go to the forward and say the sinner's prayer. I think after doing that for over 40 times, I just said to myself, I think I've done it. I think by now it should be enough. You know, and there are people like that. Anytime an altar call is made, they say the sinner's prayer again because somehow they don't know whether it's working or not working. So I had that experience around 1970. And then in 1975, I received what is called a Holy Spirit baptism. And so there was, for me, a five-year wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some people, it happened instantly, one after the other, next day, same day. For some people, they wait for a very long time. Whatever it is, it starts with expectation and salvation. Third. But before I even go to the third, in the next verse, in verse 39, Peter said something very interesting in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Very interesting. And it says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." The promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It's a very, very important statement. Peter is saying this experience of the Holy Spirit is not only for us, the apostles, it's for you too. And it is also for your children. And it is going to be for everybody. So he made it a universal experience, something that all believers must experience in all times. And that is why I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a continuous experience for all Christians. All right, so third instance. In Samaria, this is the first time people outside of Jerusalem receive the Holy Spirit. Philip goes to a place to Samaria, preaches the gospel to them. They receive Jesus Christ, and then they send to Jerusalem to bring Peter. And so Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." So you can see here that the two experiences are different. They had received the word of God. That means they were born again. And now they had to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." I want you to note what the Bible says happens. They prayed for them and they laid hands on them. They prayed for them and they laid hands on them. These two activities happen. Now, interestingly, we didn't see anybody praying for anybody and laying hands on anybody in Acts chapter 2. They were all together and they all received. But prior to that, Jesus had appeared to them and told them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So I believe Jesus had already prayed for them and imparted the ability to them. But for the people in Samaria, they had to be prayed for and hands had to be laid on them. So that gives us the third condition is invocation. Invocation. Now you say, "Pastor, what is invocation?" It's not a normal word. I'm using shin. So I have to use some. I can't say prayer shin. I have to use a word that works well with me. So I said invocation. Now invocation simply means prayer. It's a fanciful way of saying prayer, or making a supplication, or making a demand on God. So the first time, there has to be expectation, and then there has to be salvation, and then there has to be invocation. That means that we have to invoke the name of the Lord, we have to pray, and in this instance, they prayed, and they laid hands on them. Now, sometimes it's only prayer, sometimes it's prayer and laying on of hands. But the important thing is we call on the Lord. We call on the Lord to fill people with the Holy Spirit. And that's the invocation. It's just calling on the Lord, making a request to God, making a supplication to God. So there is salvation, there is expectation, there is salvation, there is invocation. So anybody who wants to receive the Holy Spirit, these are the steps you're going through. First, you have to expect. Second, you have to be saved. Third, you have to ask for it. Ask. You have to ask the Lord. There has to be invocation. There has to be prayer. Either you're praying for yourself or somebody's praying for you. In my instance, both happened. In the church I used to be in at the time, which was the Assemblies of God Church, we used to have revival services every evening, every month. Last week of the month, I think, and there will be people will come, revivalists, and they will come and preach. And almost every time they pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. And as had happened to me in the salvation episode, I went forward many times, They laid hands on me, and then I don't know whether they were pushing me or not, you know. They tried their best for me. Nothing happened. I believe I received, but, you know, nothing outwardly happened. Sometimes they lay hands on you and you just go backward. And they bend you. I mean, you need to fall. So that happened to me. So that was some kind of invocation. And then, you know, after it didn't happen in the church, one day I decided, you know, I have to receive this thing. So I decided that day to pray and fast and wait on the Lord and trust God that I receive. And I was just by myself praying, and just out of nowhere, I started speaking in tongues. So both are invocation. One, people praying for me, the other praying for myself. So whether you're praying for yourself or somebody is praying for you, there has to be invocation. There has to be prayer. But there has to be expectation. I was expecting. I went forward many times. I was already saved. I was saved in around 1970. And now, invocation. And I received the Holy Spirit. The last condition, and then we'll pray. The last condition, Acts chapter 10, verse 45 to 47. And this is in the house of Cornelius. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And I want you to note the phrase, "the Holy Spirit fell on them." In verse 45, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And verse 47 says, they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on them and they received two things. One by the Holy Spirit, the other by the people. The Holy Spirit fell on them and they received. So it's possible for the Holy Spirit to fall and people not receive. The Holy Spirit fell, or the Holy Spirit was poured out and they received. So the final step is reception. Reception. You have to receive. And how did the people evidence that they had received? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. For they heard them speak with tongues. So the experience of the Holy Spirit is real. Jesus promised, and he told his disciples to be in expectation of it. Peter told those who were desirous that they have to be saved first. They have to have salvation first. And we learn that not only must people have salvation, but they must pray for it. There has to be invocation. There has to be prayer for the Holy Spirit. And then there has to be receiving. So we're going to do all four. First, there has to be expectation. Second, there has to be salvation. Third, there has to be invocation. And fourth, there has to be reception. And that's the sequence I see in the Bible, and the conditions precedent in all the instances we have looked at. So we're going to pray for those of you who are desiring to have this magnificent experience with the Holy Spirit. He's still the Holy Spirit. He's real. He hasn't gone back since he came on the day of Pentecost. As a matter of fact, he was here before the day of Pentecost, because we see the Holy Spirit right from the book of Genesis. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God's Spirit has always been here. He didn't just come one day. He's always been here. But on the day of Pentecost, he began a new work, not only in the earth, but in the lives of people. that the Holy Spirit, who used to come upon people in the Old Testament one at a time, a prophet or a king or a priest, now this Holy Spirit comes upon your sons and your daughters, your old men and your old women, and the young and the old, the maidservants, everybody receives the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I believe there's going to be a glorious experience with the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to pray this morning? Let's rise up together. Let's pray. We're going to pray. Now, if you are here and you are in expectation to receive the Holy Spirit, why don't you wave your hand just to show that you are expectant? Wave your hand. Yes, wave your hand. Wave your hand. God bless you. Just somebody say, I'm expectant. I'm waiting. I'm desirous to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what expectation is. There has to be a hunger in you. If you are passive about it, you don't receive. You have to be expectant. You have to be expectant. And remember, some of you probably have prayed a couple of times and nothing has happened, so you've become a bit passive. You can't be passive and receive. You have to be expectant. I went many times to the front, many times to the front, many times to the front in my church. And I remember there was a young guy in the church who was younger than me, and he went forward and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was a guy in the church, he was almost like an elder in the church. He was a big man, and he used to play the congas of the church. This guy has been praying for the Holy Spirit for eternity. And this young boy went, and the young boy got it, he didn't. And so I said, wow, this little boy can receive the Holy Spirit. I think I can also receive. It didn't happen to me. I'm pleased to announce that after a few revivals later, the Congas man also received the Holy Spirit. So you know, sometimes you pray and pray and pray, and you don't get experience, and then you say, oh, I'm not even desiring. But you have to be expectant. Everyone say expectant. Say, I'm expectant. I'm ready. You have to be expectant. You have to desire. You have to say, Lord, I want to have this experience with you. I want your spirit to touch me. I want to experience you in a new dimension. I want to be filled with the spirit. I want you to give me the ability to pray in tongues. That's expectation. But then you have to be saved. So just to be sure that everybody we're going to pray for is saved, we're going to pray an en masse prayer for everybody to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Are you ready for that? Okay, say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. But I thank you, Father, that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. And in him, I have life. I have abundant life. So I confess today that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I declare, I am for Jesus. I am a child of God. I am born again. I am born of the Spirit. I have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. So condition number two has been met. The first, there's expectation. And third, second, there is salvation. Now there's going to be invocation. There's going to be invocation. So we're going to pray. And then after we pray, you'll receive. So invocation and receiving happen at the same time. If you are here and you haven't received the Holy Spirit baptism, this moment you're going to receive. And you'll be so full of His joy, of His power, of His grace, of His glory, of His beauty. The anointing of the Lord is going to rest upon you. It's going to fall upon you. There's going to be power in your life. And you are going to be a dynamic witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The nations are going to feel the power of God in your life. So we're going to pray. Now that we're going to pray two ways. People will pray for you and you pray for yourself too. All right? So those of you who want to receive, just let your hand be up so that somebody can put their hand on you, lay hands on you. They are not apostles, but they will do. They will be fine. So if you want to receive, just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Those of you who want to receive the Holy Spirit, just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Okay, now if you are sitting by somebody who lifted up their hand or you are behind them, just put your hand on them. Don't push them. Put your hand on them. Just push them. Your hand doesn't have any major power. Just let it go there. Christ will touch them. So don't be afraid. Lay hands on that. There's somebody there. Put your hand on him. Yeah, yeah. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure. You're not sure. Yeah, put your hand on him. Put your hand on him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will do his work. It has nothing to do with your hand. You're just obeying instructions spiritually. And we're going to pray and we're going to invoke the Lord. So let's all pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who has been sent and who is present in my life. And I receive today the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I receive today the ability of the Holy Spirit, the utterance of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit flows through me, works through me, empowers me to be a witness of Christ. And so I receive today the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. That is invocation. Now everybody lift up your hand and we're going to pray again. And all of you who are desiring that you be filled with the Holy Spirit, as we begin to pray, the Spirit of God is already in you because you are born again. And he's going to stir in you a desire to now praise God and magnify him in a new language. So we're all going to pray in the Spirit as the Spirit gives us utterance. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray. Malo stekriende rebosa. Migarieste farunda shibraka sota. Mevria stekeyato farunda zebria sumna kataya rabosta. Ekeyezona, ekeyozana, matuka rede zevina kasiata karona kayasta baranda, manufari epeyeste borone, abuka yende griasta manavuna, metari iste karosha kayesa kayakalodeni, majiori kiatalabose pariakayana, amutaya la mudine kayalabosa banakail kasa, umakaya la boda maisa kalabuna, meyara ndayeka yozekea madoya, amata hula kasiana, ikayoste. Lelemoza, Ikayose Barakaya, Oriente Zanayo Robozaya, Ikayoste Rendere Kosaya, Ikayaza Manatovri Anaya, Ikoste Barana. Oh, just pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is touching lives. The Holy Spirit is touching lives. Pray. Allow him to use your tongue. Words are coming out. Words are coming out. Words are coming out. Maroste parana. Maroste parana. Maroste parana. Oh, yelelelelebosa. Oh, nekeya satari. Oh, masatakari. Oh, mashikayara. Oh, megeriana. Oh, matahari istegari. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mezena yata faru anayaka. Oh, maderiana casto. We magnify you, Lord. Mezekeri and the rebosha. We declare your praise. We declare your praise. We declare your praise. Your glory, we magnify you. Oh, the Lord is good and greatly to be praised. Mizari and the rebosha. Kaya bababa sota. Mekari and the rekaya. Abadu baya basita. Ikari and the rekasio. Ovene taya. Ovene kesiana. Ovene kasikari. Izanu kaya. Menonda. Abuna kasiala. Meturanda yakia rabuzina kayala bosiata rekai. Oh, yes. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. None to be compared with you. None to be compared with you, Masotakari. Stegari and the Redebosa. Imataria Arushakaya. Mekayala Bosa. Oh, Makayara. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Makori and the Redebosa. We give you praise this morning for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit over lives this morning, for the release of the gift of the Spirit over your people this morning, for the enablement of your Spirit. Thank you for the free flow of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the free flow of your Spirit. Thank you for the release of your Spirit. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's celebrate the name of the Lord.